chapter 1, it's verses 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice highly, favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to me to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Thank you, Travis. Appreciate that. And Jerry, thank you for the song leading. And David, appreciate your prayers. We also appreciate you being with us this morning. We have a good number of visitors, and we're happy you have chosen to be here, and especially going back to surprising even family. We appreciate that so much. It is good to be together to worship God and to focus upon what God has done for us and how wonderful it is to praise Him for all the good things that He has given us. If you look at the bulletin article, the article addresses the scripture that describes Jesus as the indescribable gift, unspeakable, the King James uses. And truly, He was a gift to the world. And of course, this time of year, folks will often center upon what we know as that gift being the baby that was born in Bethlehem. And there's some interesting aspects to that. As you look at Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2, you have a lot of details in reference to the coming of the Christ born of the Virgin. And of course, this time of year, a lot of folks want to focus upon that to the point that they set up their nativity scenes. They have different plays and events going on. In fact, you will see living nativities and so forth. But what's always amazing about those things is that they fail to really pay attention to what has been revealed and the accuracy of what particularly Luke, for example, reveals about the incident relating to the time that Jesus was born. Probably you will recall that you've heard a song entitled "Mary, Did You Know?" It's a song that's sung, and it takes an interesting approach because it asks the question, "Mary, did you know your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God." Interesting thoughts to look at when you think, what did Mary know? Just recently, I heard the song. And after I heard the song, I got to thinking, well, what did Mary know? What was it that was revealed that she did know? And so I picked up my Bible, started looking at Luke chapter 1, 2, as well as Matthew, beginning of Matthew chapter 1. And then, as I looked at what was revealed, I learned some things that Mary did know. And so, it got me to thinking, not the question, what did she know, but what are we told that she did know? Because you see, Mary was given words that she needed to know. If you look at Luke 1, verse 35 again, the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you." And Scripture goes on, "Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Look at what she's been told. "Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the 6th month for her who is called barren." Then look at verse 37. "For with God nothing will be impossible." These are words revealed. These are words given to Mary that she needed to know. Verse 38, "And Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." You see the focus? It's about what God has revealed to His people. And Mary had things revealed to her that she needed to know. Additionally, as you look at Luke chapter 2, and start reading verses 1 through 18, you learn about the shepherds in the fields, tending their sheep. And we know the story. We know the account. But I want you to look at verse 17 of that section of Scripture. Of course, it speaks about Jesus being born. The rejoicing that is seen when the announcement is made. But look at verse 17. "Now when they had seen Him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child." Who was that? The shepherds. When they saw Him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. Then we read verse 18, "And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." So they're dispensing very important information. But then there's verse 19. "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Now, having experienced what Kathy went through having 2 children, I learned a lot about that experience that she went through. And thankfully, she did it instead of me. One thing about having a child, as you ladies know, much better than we men, it's an involved time. You're constantly having your health monitored, you're checking this, you're concerned about the child, and so forth and so forth and so forth. And then, of course, there's the preparation for that child to enter the world. Now imagine what it was like for Mary. Now, I didn't say speculate. I just was calling upon you to empathize, ladies, because not only was she with child, but this was not just any child, was it? She had to deal with the situation with Joseph. And this child being born of God. Because she was a virgin who gave birth. So there's the issue with Joseph. Then, of course, there's the events that occur with Elizabeth and with the shepherds who are now there speaking to her. And so you can only accept so well what is said in verse 19, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." So she learned things from the shepherds. But I want us to think about for an instant this morning things that Mary knew but did not tell us. The song asked the question, "Mary, did you know, did you know, did you know?" Well, Mary did know some things, and there's some things that Mary did know that she just did not tell us. For example, she knew the actual date of the birth of Jesus, but she didn't tell us. In fact, Scripture did not give us an actual date. It's not revealed. Matthew 1, or 2, verse 1 says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, that gives us the period. And Scripture goes on in Luke 2, verse 6 and says, the days were completed for her to be delivered. So we have this time period that occurs in the days of Herod, and that helps us get the period of time. But notice this in verse 11 of Luke 2. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. But isn't it fascinating? It just simply says this day. We are not told what day. It did not reveal the date on which Jesus was born. I think there's a reason for that. How many of you have seen the red signs there in people's yards? I first thought they were some kind of real estate signs. Since Kathy and I have been looking for houses in this area, we've noticed these signs. And it wasn't a real estate sign. It says Jesus is the reason for the season. And I understand what they're trying to get across, because this is the time of year the focus is trying to, or the people are trying to focus upon Jesus, not so much on just the secular concepts. But the question I have to ask folks is, Jesus really the reason for the season? If you do a little research, and it doesn't take a whole lot, you learn the reason for the season occurred about 300 years after Christ. The Emperor Constantine, and I might add with the help of his mother, when he supposedly converted to Christianity, and I put that in quotes, declared it to be the Roman Empire's favorite religion. And so, because of that, Western civilizations and Westerners followed the officially appointed day of being December 25th. And that day being designated by Constantine, the Roman Emperor, the day that Jesus was born. But did you notice in reading Luke 2 that we didn't get that? Because what I'm emphasizing, of course, is that we need to be accurate, don't we? Scripture does not reveal that, and that's important to know. In fact, the reason that that day was chosen was because of two pagan festivals that occurred, worshiping pagan gods, and so they chose that day, Constantine did, to replace it. I'm reminded of the story of the little boy who was being asked a question about the reason for the season. Some of you remember Art Linkletter, where he questioned children. I think there's been some modern shows with Steve Harvey talking to kids. And kids are so openly honest, aren't they? They're just wonderful when you ask them questions and they respond so innocently and sincerely. And so the question was asked, what is the reason for the season in reference to this time of year? And I love the response one little boy made. He said, so those folks that love us can give us presents. I like that. We enjoy that, don't we? I even enjoyed seeing Randy standing up here in beautiful red, but then I compared him as he was standing there to how God colors, and as pretty as Randy's shirt is, God colors a whole lot better. Look at these flowers. We see red. We see things occur, but the little boy nailed it, didn't he? And so the follow-up question of the little boy was, well, what kind of gifts do you like? What kind of presents do you like to receive? He looks up with kind of a, like, why are you asking that question look on his face? And he said, toys. Like, why are you asking me that? And then just after a second of thought, he says, and not clothes. We understand, don't we? Folks that consider this time of year the reason for the season, of course, they're wanting to think about Christ. They're wanting to think about what occurred many, many years ago. But we want to encourage the world to think about what God did tell us. And that's why this lesson, looking at things Mary knew but did not tell us, for example, the exact country where the wise men came from. I've wondered that. But as I look at Scripture, I don't know where they came from exactly. Scripture doesn't reveal it. It just simply says in Matthew 2 that wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. And Mary didn't tell us. She knew it, but it's not revealed. And so, therefore, we don't know exactly where they came from. Also, we do not know how many wise men visited the child Jesus. It's not revealed. Mary knew, but she didn't tell us. We just read like verse 9 of Matthew 2, when they heard the king, they departed. Behold, the star which had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Notice it says young child. It doesn't say baby Jesus. There's a reason for that. And so we don't know how many came to visit the young child. Verse 11 says of Matthew 2, when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary and his mother, fell down and worshipped him, and then they opened their gifts and presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Once again, we don't know how many there were who presented those gifts. People speculate and say, well, if there's three gifts, it's got to be three wise men, but we don't know that. Mary knew, but she didn't tell us. Not only that, she did not reveal the actual address of the house that the wise men visited. Now, traditionally, as you make your way around the communities that we live in, take a trip to Springfield, maybe to Branson, you'll see the scene with the baby Jesus depicted in on yards and so forth. And also there will be the three wise men. But Scripture doesn't reveal to us that they came to the birthplace of Christ in the manger. It says clearly they had come into the house. And as you look at the timetable, it was later. In fact, when Herod decided to put to death the children, he chose two and under, showing us the timetable regarding the visit of these wise men. And so they come into the house, and there they saw the young child. What house, exactly where, we don't know because Mary didn't tell us, but she knew. But one thing is indicated as you read, particularly Luke 1 and 2, is that wise men still seek him. And it's not because he stayed a baby in a manger, is it? It's because Jesus, as a Savior, grew up. And I love Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. That was the message that began with the birth of Christ and continued through the writings of the apostles, that you and I have a responsibility to be wise in the time and the choices we make, to make sure we do the right thing. One other interesting aspect when thinking about the things that Mary knew but didn't tell us was what occurred with the child. I just enjoy opportunities to sit down with y'all and have you talk about your children, especially when they were young. And we harbor stories. I've got some, what I think, wonderful stories about my children between the ages of 1 and 12. Especially when they were little enough just to take off running after they first learned to walk. And it was amazing to me, being a new parent, how that they built coffee tables and end tables just the right height. And I can tell you that my two kids survived. I'm not sure they're as normal as they should have been because of the many times they hit their heads. But yet, they survived. And there's story after story that I could tell you about my children. You can tell me about your children. But we have nothing given to us in Scripture during that period that Jesus turned 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, up until about age 12. Then we learned that the child grew, became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That is revealed. And so here in her possession, in her rearing, was the child that would grow to become the son of the Almighty God, declared by his miracles, by the gospel that he preached. Which brings us to things that Mary did know. And those things that she revealed, or let me put it another way, that is revealed to us through the Scripture. So let's consider those things for a moment. For example, things revealed that Mary did know was that the angels were messengers from God. Luke 1, verse 26, if you want to look there, Scripture says, the sixth month, an angel of Gabriel. Angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And so there we have this messenger, and that's what the word angel means, Gabriel being sent to declare a message. And what was declared? Verse 28, Luke 1, having come in, the angel said to her, he is delivering a message, and look at the message, rejoice highly, favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. So we have revealed that Mary understood what they were doing, that this angel was a messenger sent to them. And so they stood before him and heard this message. Verse 29 says, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. And she considered what the manner of the greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, do not be afraid. So we know that Mary came to know that she was not only chosen, but she was blessed in the fact that an angel had come to her to reveal to her information, and included in that great message was that she had nothing to fear. I don't know how fearful Kathy was when our children were in the process. Reaching the point to enter this world. But I can tell you, I feared. I was constantly saying, are you all right? Is the baby okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Because to me, it was a very trying, difficult, challenging time to go through her saying, oh, that hurts. Or looking concerned. And I'd go, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? Think about this for Mary. What a challenge it was to know that she was going to bear a child. And so she was afraid. But notice verse 30, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And so she had nothing to fear. And that goes back to the verse 28. The angel said to her, rejoice highly, favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. We learn from Mary that God walks with those he loves and who walk with him. And there's assurance in that even for us who are God's children. To know that we have a God who cares. To know that we have a God who says to us, I'm with you. And truly she was able to rejoice because God was with her. And as we look at the passage, she was blessed. Again, verse 48 speaks of that. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed or blessed. And she was. She was blessed to bear the child that would be known as the Savior of the world. Not only that was revealed, but also the fact that her name, or the name that she chose for her son, was actually not hers to choose. And so the choice was already given. Therefore, she chose to call the name that was given. because she is told that she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. So it was revealed, the name, and it was also revealed to Joseph, the son of David as well. And again, as you look at verse 20, we read the words, "Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife." Now, this was a trying situation for Joseph, but he's told not to be afraid either, to take her. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Then verse 21, "And she will bring forth a son, and you will," or "you shall," "call his name," what? Jesus. That name was confirmed of Joseph, and that's what they called him. But there's one thing that as we near the end of our lesson this morning that I want to share with you. Concerning what Mary did know, Mary would come to know the pain that a child can bring. We know the story in Luke 2, the latter part of the chapter where Jesus stayed in the temple. They head back from Jerusalem and they find out Jesus is missing because he lingered in Jerusalem. And once they found out, verse 48 says, after they came to Jerusalem, so when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." You ever said something like that to your children? "Why did you do that to us?" How many of you have had anxious moments by the action of your children? Yeah, we know. I remember waking up one evening, it was probably early morning. I got home after 11 o'clock, I know, and it might have been closer to 12:30 in the morning. And I snuck in the house. And I remember my dad not being happy at all about such an incident. I thought I didn't wake anybody. I thought I had it made, sneaking right in through the window like I did. But apparently, when I fell on the floor and made a little noise, he woke him up. And he and Mom were somewhat anxious. And even though I was a little over 16, my dad decided that there was a piece of wood laying there that would educate me. And so I got educated that night that my parents don't like being anxious. We understand, don't we? We understand the pain that can come from children who create that anxiety. But there's something else about the pain. Revealed in Luke chapter 2, verse 34, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against." And then look at verse 35. "Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also." Do you remember the cross? What pierced the side of Christ where water and blood came forth? A sword. But notice the scripture. Verse 35. "Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." This picture right here, someone done well. I hope you can see it from where you're sitting. Because it depicts, to me at least, what it would have been like to have been Mary before the cross. Mary knew a lot of things about her son, knew that he would be the Savior of the world. But can you imagine, moms, dads, what it would have been like to know what your son's going through when they took him and they beat him, forced him to bear a cross to Calvary? Can you imagine, moms, what it would have been like to hear the sound of the hammers driving the nails into Christ? I'm thankful that we read that Jesus handed her care over to the apostle he loved. I'm thankful that Jesus didn't stay in that grave. That Mary had knowledge that truly this was a resurrected Lord. But folks, it was difficult, as you know, for her to have her heart pierced. Even as Scripture says, through your own soul also. Because that was her son. In the flesh that was going to that cross. And so she would come to know that pain. But she would also come to know that there's rejoicing even in that. Because she knew that Jesus was the Savior of the world. Notice what the announcement is given in verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. When you think about it, we don't have the date he was born because the emphasis would become the cross and what he would do there. And we gather on the first day of the week to do what? To celebrate the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. And remember, to pay attention, to focus upon what he did when he went to that cross and what he did for us when he was resurrected and how he became the Savior of the world. But the tragedy is that the world does not always recognize the Savior. And it goes beyond the reason of the season, as you see in the little signs. Because it's about the fact that that was a Son of God, the one and only, who hung on that cross. As Matthew says in verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus died on that cross for sin, our sins. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one Savior. He is the only hope for the world. But notice that the Scripture says, even though he's the answer for sins, he is going to save, notice, his people. We have to become his, and that's our choice. We have to choose whether or not we really care that he was born and that he died. We have to choose whether or not we understand the pain that Mary went through to the point that we recognize the sacrifice of the Christ who died for us. See, it's you and I that have to make the choice whether or not we're going to be his people. Jesus did his part, didn't he? And don't we rejoice with that? When we partake of this Lord's table, we think about the body that was broken, the blood that was shed for us. But it's our choice what we do with that. Because, you see, he's going to save his people. So the question this morning, are you a part of his people? Have you committed your life to Christ? Have you become a child of God? Have you been baptized into Christ for remission of sins so that you can walk in that new life where we belong to Christ? Galatians 3:26 and 27 tells us that those of us who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Have you put on Christ? When Mary was before the cross, witnessing the child that grew up die, and when her heart was struggling, she had the knowledge that Jesus is the Savior. If you would ask Mary at that point in time, do you know? She knew. She was told. But do you know? And if you do, why not this morning? Choose to be his people by doing what you need to do in order to be a part of the family of God. If we can help you in any way, assist you in any way, we're going to stand, we're going to sing an invitation song. Please come as we stand and sing.